Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. The parable test, are you fruitful for God's kingdom? In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey spoke of how the Lord Jesus gave us a test to see if we were bearing fruit for God's kingdom by making a comparison with a light or a lamp. Now, in this second part, he will give us the test of a hearing ear and also the test of a measuring cup. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Well, the second test is a test of a hearing ear. If any man will have ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. So Jesus is saying, when you come under the gospel proclamation and you hear the word of God, you have a responsibility, by God's grace, which he freely gives, to respond to that word and so walk in the light. And so the question here is, are you really hearing the gospel? Are you really understanding the gospel as it comes to you every week? And are you responding to that gospel by the grace of God? And does your life show it? Do you have spiritual hearing? That's the question. That's test number two. Now let me just speak just a few minutes to those of you who are yet unconverted, and then I'm going to speak to the saved as well, because you're going to answer this question, of course, differently, and there's different message really to both of you. To you who are not saved, I just want to speak plainly and lovingly. The privileges you've had in your life are just unspeakable. They're just unspeakable. You have a privilege that the masses who sat around Jesus on the shore of Galilee, hearing him tell this parable, did not have. He told the parable, but then he walked away and told his disciples the meaning. The mystery of the kingdom was veiled from them. But you see, 2,000 years later, the mystery of the kingdom is not veiled to you. You're privy to the real meaning. This word has been pressed repeatedly on your conscience. Week after week, year after year, some of you decade after decade. And you know you need to be born again. And you know what it means to be born again. You heard it again this morning. To have a true knowledge of your sin and misery. To have a true sense of deliverance in Christ. To have an intentional life of living out of gratitude to God. Three things that alone are marks of salvation. And three things alone by which you can live and die happily. You have it memorized. And you see today as gospel ministers, we don't have to hide any of it from you. In fact, we're commanded. Because what is hidden must be revealed. After Jesus died and rose again, he sends forth his servants so that nothing be kept secret now. And so our job description is to tell you the whole counsel of God and to tell you how willing God is to save the greatest wretch in the entire congregation. The door is shut to no one. Everyone is welcome with God. You've heard that. Some of you, thousands of times. And yet you don't hear. You hear big invitations, unconditional invitations from the Bible. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And you thirst. You know your life is empty. You know it deep in your heart. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And you say no. After every single sermon, year after year, decade after decade. You don't have ears to hear. Well, you do have physical ears. But did you ever think about this? That God gives us physical ears for many purposes. But the primary purpose is that we might hear the gospel. And by faith, you are saved, Romans 10 says, by hearing the word of God and the Spirit taking that word and applying it to your heart so you understand the gospel. What a wonderful thing it is that we don't have to keep anything secret. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You now have all the secrets that the people didn't understand. Because Christ has commissioned his servants to bring the whole Bible, the complete canon. You have it all. You have the entire word of God. The lamp is no longer under the bushel. The light is no longer surrounded with darkness. Every single sermon you hear from this pulpit brings you to Jesus Christ, one way or another. The light. You're told plainly, you're told openly, you're told fervently, you're told pleadingly, you're told passionately that you are a sinner under the wrath of God by nature. And yet that God is infinite in mercy also for just the kind of sinner you are. And you're invited to come to him just as you are. Poor and needy. You're a sinner who sits weakly under the gracious invitations, the Spirit-given invitations of this merciful God to come to his Son, to repent and believe the gospel and have all your sins blotted out and find true happiness and go out and shine as a light in this dark, needy world. And yet you refuse. You're not sitting in a church week by week where the preacher only makes an occasional allusion to sin and repentance and faith in Christ. You're not sitting in a congregation where the preaching once in a while bleakly might infer that you have a little bit of a problem and might infer that if you listen carefully that the problem may be sin and that somehow if you listen more carefully, the answer might be Christ. You're right in the midst of the spotlight. And you're not hearing the word of God, the plainness of the Bible. The concealed is revealed to you. But you're not hearing it. And if you don't hear it soon, if you continue to reject Jesus Christ to the end of your life, you will be rejected by him forever. You will be one of the three kinds of false hearers. And you will go to hell for your unbelief. For your unbelief. For your wicked, wretched, blatant, God-dishonoring unbelief. And that's what Jesus says in verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. So here in this life, even though you're an unbeliever, the common grace of God is poured out upon you again and again and again. So you get that coming to you as you sit in church. You get it as you walk around in society. You've got health. You've got abilities. You've got freedoms that people don't have in many countries. You've got so much, whatever you want to call it, common grace, common goodness, common mercy of God. But in hell, you won't have any of that. Revelation 14 is plain. God will pour out his wrath upon you without any mixture, no common goodness. And you'll be in the land of everlasting darkness where the light will never come to you again. You'll never hear one more sermon. You'll wish like ever you could, but you can't. No more opportunity of repentance. He that has ears to hear, let him hear tonight. But obviously, this word also has a particular relevance to the people of God. They have been given ears to hear. It's all grace, you see. What's the message to God's people in verse 23? Well, the message is plain. Whatever light is given to us in the context of our peculiar relationship with Christ, our intimacy with Christ, His word is given that we might put it in the place of the most prominent display, that we might put the light on the candlestick, or on the lampstand rather, and that that light might shine to the most people possible. Or to put it negatively, spiritual light is never given to believers to hoard it for themselves. When J.C. Ryle works with this text, this is what he says. We are to display to others the precious treasure we have found and persuade them to seek it for themselves. We're to tell them of the good news that we've heard and endeavor to make them believe it and value it themselves. It becomes all Christians to lay these things to heart. Dear believer, you are under a solemn gospel obligation to be enterprising and zealous and seeking to take whatever life is given to you in secret and to make it public. Public knowledge. Whether it's the light that comes to us in our own devotional reading of the Word, light that comes to us in personal or family worship, light that comes in public exposition of the Word and their preaching, light that comes from the many good Christian books available to us, whatever light comes to us, don't place it under a bushel or a bed because of your false modesty. Let the light shine. That's what Jesus is saying to you, dear believer, when he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. In the 19th century, there was a minister who said to his theological students, young men, hold up your lamp before men. Hold it up fearlessly. Let it shine. Let it shine. But do not dash it into anyone's face. That says it all, doesn't it? You hold up your lamp, the gospel lamp, before men. You hold it up fearlessly. In school, in the workplace, across the backyard fence, in every situation where you can wisely, under the impulse of the enterprising love of Christ and the burden for the lost, and where you can, you convey the truth as it is in Jesus. You hold it up fearlessly, but you don't cram it into people's face. Oh, you warn them with love. But the way to evangelize someone is not just to hand them a tract and say, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe and walk away. We're not advocating an unchristlike demeanor, but we are advocating a Christ-like demeanor. Do what Jesus did. When in the presence of an immoral woman, he made her feel at ease long enough to be able to draw the conversation around to true and living water. And look how he handled the woman committed in adultery. He spoke to her. He warned her. But he also said, go and sin no more. And he opened the door of salvation. So what about you? Are you passing the second test? Do you have a hearing ear that results in an open gospel life where your light shines? The test of the light, the test of a hearing ear, and now the test of a measuring cup. Look at with me at verses 24 and 25. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. In a nutshell, he says, put to use the light I've given you, and you'll receive more. Don't put it to use, you lose what you have. If you fail to listen, you fail to heed, you fail to profit from what you've heard of the gospel, you'll be deprived even that of which you have. Today, a colloquialism is use it or lose it. And there's an application here. A powerful application to the gospel. You see, people say, well, I once heard a language and I kind of knew it, and then I lost it because I didn't use it. Or I once played a certain musical instrument when I was young, and I could play all kinds of music, but I haven't done it for years now, and I lose it. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 21:43, if you fail to make use of the gospel message, you fail to respond, you fail to build on it, you fail to take what you believe and add to it by a fruitful life, it shows you didn't really have it to begin with, and so it will be taken away from you, because his people will bear fruit. So he says in Matthew 21:43, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. You see, someone else who will make use of the grace of God and generously bear fruit will make their life count when your life has not made a difference. And so the imperative is clear. You've got to use your life, invest it in the lives of others, serving the Lord, serving others, serving his people, serving the lost. If your enemy hungers, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him drink. And you will receive more. If you are a channel of blessing, God will continue to use you, and increasingly so. That's the point of verses 24 and 25. As a channel of blessing to others. And if you're a believer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you young people, some of you have, by grace, you've become believers, and maybe you've gone on a mission trip to Mexico or wherever, and you come back and you say, how many times you've said to us pastors, Pastor, I just can't believe it. I actually went to help those people. I thought I'd try to do them some good, try to share a little bit of the gospel and try to be an example. I went to use a small measure of my gifts. But as I did so, I felt like I received in return much more than I gave. You see, that's the way God works. God really meant it when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He really meant it when he said that when you serve him and you give yourself away, you'll get more back in return and you'll be able to serve him more. When you bring forth fruit 30-fold, soon you'll be bringing forth 40-fold. Maybe 60. But if you don't bring forth fruit, if you take what God gives you, the gifts he gives you, and you refuse to have ears to hear, and you hide the one talent in the ground, he'll take away even the one talent that you have. And his curse will be upon you. You see, whenever you use your gifts to serve the Lord, that very service will boomerang back in a positive way to bless you. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of full-time ministry, actually. It's not the paycheck you get at the end of the month. It's the joy of service. The joy of seeing people come closer to God through the ministry. That's a minister's real wages. But that's a Christian's real joy as well. Service is what life is all about. There's joy in service. If you know your sin and misery, and God has brought you to find deliverance in Christ, you will want your entire life, I wish that everything in me, you will say, would serve the Lord spotlessly. I just want to serve him with my thoughts. Paul says, I want to bring every single thought that runs through my mind into captive obedience to Christ. And I want to honor him with every word and every action. Oh, to serve the Lord. That's my desire. And so every morning, I'll tell you what one of my prayers is every single morning. My wife must be tired of hearing it. Lord, make us useful and fruitful today. May there be someone today we can talk to about the Lord, or some book or some sermon or some reaching out. Use me today to bless other people. Use me today to shed that light across the room of this world, or to a neighbor or to a friend, someone, somewhere, associate at work, within reason. Serving God and serving others is such a blessing, you can't put it into words. So this should be our prayer all the time. Help me, use me, make me fruitful, make me useful today. For with what measure I measure out, I will receive back and more. But if I'm not fruitful, well, the sad truth is I'll lose everything that I've been given. I'll close this sermon tonight with personal questions. The first is this. By the Spirit's grace, are you praying for and acting in such a way that you may be useful and fruitful in the lives of others? To do that, you need import. You need to be in your Bible. You need to be reading good books and filling your mind with good things. And we have those opportunities today, don't we? We've been given Christian freedoms and blessings and opportunities of resources everywhere we turn. God has not been stingy with us. And so, dear believer, I know you've got your job, you've got your children, you've got all kinds of responsibilities. But throughout it all, is there an intentional course of life by which your cup overflows with the blessings of God, and you strive to give that overflow into the lives of others? You see, when you've been pardoned by Jesus and your sins are forgiven, the miracle of the gospel is so great, you want the whole world to know it. You want everyone to share your joy. And so is it your prayer daily? Help me to be useful and fruitful in the lives of others for God's glory. By the Spirit's grace, it all has come, of course, from the Spirit's grace. You can't do anything without the Spirit. But by the Spirit's grace, to be fruitful and useful. Secondly, have you perhaps fallen into spiritual atrophy? That is to say, have your spiritual muscles grown limp and unused? Are you backsliding? You know, one sign of backsliding is that you're not asking the Lord anymore to use you as an instrument of His grace for His glory and to be a channel of blessing to others. Sometimes as a minister, you get a bit discouraged about things, and maybe you're working on a sermon, as I was on this one yesterday, and it wasn't going very well. And you struggle, and you say, I'm just not being useful or fruitful right now. Things are going from bad to worse. And you just get up and you go and you visit someone to tell that very person what you need to hear yourself, to be encouraged. And as you seek to bless that person, you find that God often uses it as a blessing, your own words that you're giving to someone else, to use it for you. There's a beautiful thing about service, being used by God. Doesn't have to be big things. You know, time and time and time again, we put in the bulletin, don't we? We need more drivers so that we can pick up more children for the Sunday school, neighborhood children who don't have a chance to hear the gospel. Can you drive? You think that if you drove, you picked up children, God would lay these children on your heart, and you might be blessed even more than them by your helping out? It's time and time again, we put in the bulletin, we need more families to take the visitors who come to church in the morning, Sunday morning, to take them to your home for the new meal. Those who do so, I can tell you, have been tremendously blessed. Those visitors who've come here, they've had wonderful conversations in their family. And yet we're always short. Honestly, we should have too many people volunteering for this. I know there's some legitimate cases where you just can't do it. But this is something easy to do. Just have a family go with a meal. Put a little extra soup in or whatever. Can't you help out? Tithing. We don't have any rules for tithing. But we know that there are wonderful causes that need your support. Are you doing what you can do? Perhaps you are. We're not complaining. You're a giving church. Wonderful. But you see, the point is this. When you live a life of gratitude, your attitude is not, I want all of this for myself. But your attitude is, how can I be a channel of blessing for others? By God's grace. With my gifts, with my time, with my talents. What kind of talent do I have? Maybe you have a talent that you can really speak to other people easily. And you love the Lord. Well, we've got a number of seniors who right now are in nursing homes who would love a visit. And when you visit them, you might as well try visiting a few other people next door. You could be a tremendous blessing. Just using any gift that you have. Don't get into spiritual atrophy. Ask God, pray, how wilt thou use me? And then go out and be used and be willing to give yourself away. You will be blessed.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."